Hello, my name's Gary Stevens. Welcome to Line of Judah Online, the ministry that trains and equips the believer to do the work of the ministry. Today's subject, we're dealing with hope and the anointing factor, part 14. Within this subject is the topic called Your Hope Enters into the Holy of Holies. When we go to the Word of God, John chapter 20, and we read from verse 11. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. As she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because you have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where you have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, "teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Let's go to verse 26 now. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came to the doors being shut and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, look at my hands, reach your hand here and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but be believing." Between verses 16, 17 and verse 26, we see a situation here where Jesus spoke to Mary and said, "Don't touch me because I have not ascended to my Father in heaven." But in verse 26, we see Jesus speaking to Thomas saying, "Touch me." What's the difference between that time period? Between verse 17 and verse 27 is when Jesus went to heaven. He presented himself in the heavenly sanctuary, the heavenly holy of holies, with his blood. There is an earthly holy of holies and there is a heavenly holy of holies. The holy of holies on the earth is a representation, a copy of the one that's in heaven. So we see in verses 16 to 26, Jesus said to Mary, "Don't touch me because I have not been to heaven yet in the holy of holies." And then in verse 26, you can see where Jesus had been in the Holy of Holies. He had come back and now he was, you could say, touchable. When Jesus entered the heavenly Holy of Holies, he entered into the heavenly sanctuary, the heavenly of Holy of Holies, but with his blood. He administered his blood, cleansing the heavenly utensils of worship. Let me say that again. Jesus entered into the heavenly sanctuary, which is called the Holy of Holies, by and with his blood. He administered his blood, cleansing the heavenly utensils of worship. His blood is still there today in the Holy of Holies in heaven, alive and not coagulated or dried up or become solid mass. His blood is still alive and working. There his blood ratifies or makes officially valid the new covenant or the New Testament. Let me say that again. There his blood ratifies or makes officially valid the New Testament or the New Covenant. When Jesus presented himself spotless before God, you will find everything that God said to him written in the book of Hebrews. God swore an oath with Jesus face to face and entered into a blood covenant agreement with Jesus, who was now a resurrected, immortal, glorified, reborn man that no longer was touchable by death or sin. That's a very important statement. Let me say it again. God swore an oath with Jesus face to face and entered into a blood covenant agreement with Jesus, who was now a resurrected, immortal, glorified, reborn man that no longer was touchable by death or sin. In the heavenly Holy of Holies, where the original copy of the New Covenant lies, which is the New Testament, and the heavenly utensils of worship are, where Jesus went and settled the sin question once and for all, This is where sin lost its power over man. Jesus had the keys of power of death and hell back from Satan. When we go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, we read, because of the hope which is laid up in heaven for you, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, that promise of God, that hope that you need to come into your life in some area, it's called the hope of the gospel. The promises of God are solid, they are real, but they have to come from heaven to earth through your faith, through your spirit, through believing. But the Bible says the hope which is laid up in heaven, all the promises of God, all those hopes, Bible hopes, they are laid up, they are reality in heaven, but they must be brought from heaven through your belief, through your spirit, to become a reality on the earth. I hope that makes sense to you. So whatever you're hoping for, of course, it's got to be a promise of God. Whatever you're hoping for, it's already in heaven. It's a reality there, and God wants it to become a reality on the earth, and you're part of that system. When we go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, we read, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. What are we talking about here, the full assurance of hope? It is when you dwell and meditate on God's promises and you feed on them until you begin to see them on the inside of you, on the inside of your imagination. The real Bible hope, or the inner image, becomes a reality on the inside of your spirit man. You see it and picture it on your imagination. Then you are assured by God that it is coming to pass. It's becoming a reality if you don't mess it up through doubt or unbelief or sin. If you can see it on the inside, then you can have it. It's only a short time where it will manifest on the outside, that is, in the world. This is your full assurance of hope, of what your hope of becoming a reality. Bible hope is a certainty. It's a promise of God, because the promises of God really are God. The word became flesh, we read in the book of John. But God has a system where that hope is laid up already in heaven for you, that promise that you need to become a reality in your life. But we have a part to play in that. We are the ones that have to believe by faith to lay hold of that promise, to take a hold of that promise in heaven and see it become a solid reality on the inside of our spirit man, in our imagination, and then to believe it and to speak it into being on the earth. Our faith needs to fill that hope which is laid up in heaven. Thank you for being with me today, and God bless.